And good afternoon, GRN listeners across the South and Central Texas listening area. This is your live, this is your local program. This is In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, General Manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network, South and Central Texas listening area. You can hear this program, as you know, every Monday at noon right here on your local GRN station, online at grnonline.com, or of course on the free Guadalupe Radio Network app. Also remember, you can join us on Facebook at GRN South and Central TX. Hit that like button, follow us, and you can see everything we're doing, including what we're doing today with Father Ken Geraci here. But I want to thank everyone out there listening in Marble Falls, Fredericksburg, beautiful Fredericksburg, Kerrville, Uvalde, and of course right here in good old San Antonio. And we're grateful that you have decided to spend this hour getting caught up in all things Catholic in South and Central Texas. And as you know, on this program, we try to bring you a variety of informative discussions highlighting, of course, different people, ministries, and events going on in the Archdiocese of San Antonio and parts of the Diocese of Austin. On today's program, it's going to be exciting. It's a full hour with our favorite father in the world, Father Ken Geraci. He is gracing us with his presence today, and we're going to talk about the exciting stuff that he's got going on here in San Antonio at St. Joseph Honey Creek out in Spring Branch. We're going to talk about the talks he's going to be doing, mission talks, starting today through Thursday. So get your pad and pencil out, and we want as many people to attend over at St. Joseph Honey Creek. I'm sure Father Chris Munoz will be very grateful. But Father Ken Geraci is in town, and we're going to talk about that, as well as, you know, his role as Mission Director of the Fathers of Mercy. And that's, boy, I'll tell you what, that's a lot of jobs right there. And we're going to talk about that, his journey. You're going to get to know Father Ken Geraci. I'm so excited about this, and I'm looking forward to our discussion for the entire hour. So, as you know, before we do anything here at Guadalupe Radio Network, it all starts in prayer. And before we get to the prayer, Father Ken Geraci is going to, of course, lead us in prayer. But I would like to ask all of our listeners out there, if you're listening to me, for a special prayer today, right now, for my mom, Victoria Zambrano, Vicky Zambrano. She is on, I guess as they put it, Father, she's on death's doorsteps. And, you know, my mom, a longtime St. Matthew's Catholic Church parishioner with the Guadalupanas, with, you know, the choir, and her involvement over there. She used to take care of, you know, where the Virgen and the Guadalupe statue is at within the church. She used to take care of the flowers for her, make sure that the roses are all nice. Any dead flowers, she would take them out of there. And she had a strong dedication to the Virgen and the Guadalupe. And so we want to ask her for her intercession, and we want to pray to God to ask him to take her by the hand. We're past the, you know, healing point. We're now at, let's get her to heaven. And she's done her job. She did her job in spades, and myself, my sister Laura, and my sister Carol, and my cousin Angie, who's like a sister to us, you know, we all witnessed that growing up, and it's because of her that our faith is so strong in Catholicism. She made sure that we went to Mass every Sunday, and for those of you listening that go to St. Matthew's Catholic Church on Wurzbach, we were going there. We started in 1980 when it was just a small chapel. I was there to witness all the growth throughout the years, got married there, confirmed there, and my mom was always involved with St. Matthew's, and I know she's going to miss her church, and we're going to miss her, but I'd like to pray, I'd like everybody to, you know, say a prayer for my mom, Victoria, and with that said, Father Ken, could you lead us in prayer?
Well, absolutely. When we pray the rosary, as your mother has done her whole life, you know, the value of that, we...
Yeah.
Sometimes just say the words, but today I think we're not going to focus on the word now. I always tell people to focus on that word now. Ask Mother Mary to pray for us right now.
Yes.
But I think today we're going to focus on the hour of our death, specifically moms.
Yes.
So let's pray together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You know, Father Kent, thank you for that. And we were talking about praying the rosary and the need for my sisters and I, when I go over there after this program, to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Oh, yeah.
And so, before we get into the program, you know, how important is that Divine Mercy Chaplet?
So our Lord makes tons of promises. And one of those promises related to the Divine Mercy Chaplet is the power of the chaplet. When you pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the bedside of a dying person, our Lord says when they die, they will stand before him as the merciful Savior and right. not the just judge. Right. And that's huge. That's a huge... When you die, you have your particular judgment. That's the very first thing that happens.
Right.
And so, again, we don't know exactly how this is going to work, but you stand before God. The average person stands before God as the just judge. So it's going to be a whole lot softer landing with the merciful Savior piece. So the other side of it is that when we pray the rosary, Our Lady of Fatima asks us to pray the rosary from the perspective of reparation for one's sins.
Yes.
But when we pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, we don't pray reparation. We pray in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. So reparation is like making a payment on a debt, where reparation is a payment on a debt. Atonement is paying off the entire debt.
I love when you put it that way.
That's
say that
cool,
again,
it?
So that our probably like, say that again, Father.
Yeah, right. So reparation is a payment on a debt, where atonement pays off the debt. So look at your mortgage, right? Every month you're making a payment on your mortgage.
Right.
But if someone came over and wrote a check for the remaining balance of your mortgage, that's the atonement of your mortgage, which we just started a new building project. So we're looking for atonement for that for that debt. So,
good tie-in. Good
segue. Yeah, good weave.
Yes. Well, you know, last night at about 9:30 at night, I want to give a special thanks because, you know, I reached out to Father Becerra Holy Spirit. And, yeah, I know St. Matthew's, Father Eric's very busy. And then I thought, I'm going to call Father Praveen over at Holy Trinity. And I left him a message. And lo and behold, he came at 9:30 at night.
Yeah. What a great
guy. And he's on a flight.
So many good priests in this diocese. They love the priesthood and they love that.
Yeah, he did the apostolic pardon, the last rites, gave her the oil, and said, she's now ready. Your sins are absolved.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that was such a beautiful, it gives me chills. But I want to thank Father Praveen because that was a very big favor that he did for us and to come over that late at night. And he had a 5 a.m. flight to Washington, D.C. this morning.
What a guy.
Yeah, with that said, let me go over some of the things that are coming up. And Father, thank you for, you know, talking about my mom. And again, prayers to Victoria Zambrano, if you can pray for her and our family. Yeah. We'd appreciate it. It's just it's a matter of God's time.
That's right.
She's in God's hands. So, but this weekend, I will be at St. Anthony Elmendorf and OLPH, and that's out in Floresville. Mm-hmm. So I'll be doing a pulpit talk. And I'll have my stickers and all kinds of stuff. And my good friend Maria and Jose, you know, set that up and introduced me to Father. And I was able to have a little meeting with him out there. And now, lo and behold, I'm going to have a pulpit talk. So I want to thank Father for that. And I want to thank everybody who came up to our table at the Deacon's Gala. It was last Friday, Father. And it was at St. George Maronite. We had Bishop Cepeda there, Bishop Gary Yannick. Archbishop was not able to attend, but tons of priests, Father Juan Molina, and of course, Deacon Paul did a fantastic job. The room looked fantastic. It was just a great night, and it was good seeing so many priests. Father Carlos Velasquez was there. I got to take a selfie with him. And, you know, all the diaconates that are the deacon.
Well, I don't know if you know this or not, but about a month ago, I did the deacon retreat for the deacons here at St. Matthew's.
I did hear about that.
Yeah.
How was that?
Oh, well, you have to ask them, but I think it was well received.
Yeah.
It was very well received.
And I've seen you at retreats because you did our Guadalupe Radio retreat out in, where were we at? Midland. We were in Midland, and that was fantastic. So, you know, I know how you are at retreats, and it's awesome. You got us registered with the scapular.
Yes.
I still have it right here, the brown one you gave me.
Enrolled.
And so, yeah, it's just, you know, that I know how you are at retreats. I'm sure it was fantastic. Also want to remind everybody, and this is a big deal. This is our pilgrimage, GRN, Guadalupe Radio Network, the Sin River Cruise, And Father Sam Medley is going to be there. I think he's going to jump into the Sin River off the boat.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous. You should hold up a picture of that stinking boat you got there, because that's it's gorgeous. I mean, this is, my goodness. How come I didn't get an invitation to that? I'm just saying.
You know,
actually, I probably did.
We might have to talk to somebody about that.
No, I'm a little busy.
Yeah, and this, you know, and this is going to be a great cruise. It's going to be, there's only 80 reservations available, 80 Ooh. Seats. And it's going to be an all-Catholic cruise. Of course, Father Sam Medley, Debbie Giorgiani, you got Dave Palmer, Sean Rice, and I believe Toya Hall is going. Our founder is going to be there as well.
Yeah, she's great.
We all love Toya. Toya is awesome. And so I want to make sure you're aware of this, because it's a 9 or 12 days. You can take an extension to the Lord's. It's April 22nd through the 30th. And the beautiful part right now is that if you register, pay your deposit, and then you could chip away at the balance. But if you pay that deposit, I believe they're sending a swag bag. And you want to get some GRN merchandise and all that just for registering. So I want to make sure that you are aware that a GRN swag bag is going to be sent your way. Beautiful ball cap. There's some totes. There's some a little notebook. There's a rosary, a beautiful carved rosary. And, you know, that's going to be, you know, right there for the take-in for registering. So you can go into grnonline.com. You could hit the events, or you can just scroll down and it's right there. You could see everything from the Sin River Cruise to the GRN merchandise, which is in there as well. So, you know what? I think that's all my announcements. And so, Father Ken Geraci, thank you for joining us today. You know, to have you fly in and, you know, tie in radio time to help promote, you know, tonight and the next four nights is an honor for us, and I'm glad you're here.
Well, it's always a good time. You know, I've done so much work in this diocese. I was, you know, St. Bonaventure, St. Matthew's, Holy Trinity, yes. working with the Alexanders, working with the diaconate. Yeah. I got to spend some time with your vicar general, and then the archbishop. I actually the first quality time with his excellency.
With Gustavo, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we've met in passing, you know, we've shaken hands, but we really haven't had time to be together. It wasn't long, but it was just right. it was a special moment. It was really nice. So I appreciate this place.
Yeah, you know, and I miss seeing. I didn't. He wasn't there Friday, but I was looking so forward to seeing Archbishop Gustavo. But you know, last year him and I talked, and he's fantastic, and he's you know, loves GRN and Bishop Gary Onick. Of course, I got to see him. But yeah, being in town, and you know, I want everybody out there listening, because they're probably like, hey, I want to go hear Father Ken Geraci out at St. Joseph Honey Creek, out in Spring Branch. You're going to have different topics Monday tonight. It starts tonight. You're going to have a topic. And I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. There may be some out there, very few, who haven't heard of Father Ken Geraci. I'd be surprised, but all of our Fullness of Truth San Antonio people, they know who you are.
Yeah, I love them. That's one of my favorite events every year.
It's my favorite event. And, you know, you're there, and I got to meet you there, as a matter of fact. Yeah. But tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and the Fathers of Mercy, when you were ordained, and your journey.
Sure. So anyone, just to kind of tee off on the St. Joseph Honey Creek, tonight at 7 p.m., tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, for the next four nights, 7 p.m. till about 8:15, we'll be at St. Joseph's Honey Creek doing a parish mission. The theme of the mission is spiritual warfare, healing, and deliverance. And tonight is the overview of spiritual warfare and the defensive weapons. Tomorrow are offensive weapons. Wednesday is the healing and deliverance service. So we're going to have healing and deliverance, the forgiveness exercise. So if you know anyone who struggles with unforgiveness, get them to St. Joseph's Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, because I'm going to help you forgive everyone in your life systemically, start to finish, in completion.
Ooh, that's big.
It's big. It's huge.
Yeah.
And then Thursday is the solemn close of the mission, where I'm going to teach you how to pray the Mass from healing, deliverance, and spiritual warfare. So that's the mission. So anyhow, so please come out. Love to have you out. Grew up in a typical 1980s Catholic family in the Humble, Texas area, north side of Houston. And, you know, it was back in the 80s and 90s. It was not the best time for our church. There was no catechesis. No one knew anything. We thought being Catholic meant going to church on Sunday, checking that box, and then you went back to your secular existence after that. Just really, really struggled with that. So from that, went off to college, got recruited out of college to go to work into a technology company, work in advanced R&D. Then from there, went into an internet startup company.
You were a techie, father.
Well, I was the marketing side of techie. So,
okay.
So yeah, so I knew enough to get me in trouble. Let's put it that way. So. Yeah. But the people I worked with were brilliant. I mean, some of the smartest, like the engineers that I worked with at iOmega, our claim to fame is that we had the very first working prototype of what is today the iTunes Store or Google Play Store.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Selling content over the internet. Anyone could sell digital content over the internet. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, how do you do it in a secure way? And the engineers, the people that I worked with, came up with the intellectual property, the first patents that laid the groundwork for secure transmission of digital content. So an incredible, hyper smart group of people.
Yeah.
Then we went on to start a company. Thing that crazy about this whole journey was that, you know, I mocked. I was agnostic at this point. So I gave up faith and religion in high school. But everyone that I worked with had the Christian faith. And it was my boss who began to challenge me. And the first challenge was really a call to authenticity and integrity, to let my yes be yes and my no be no. And so when I started this just to do the natural things well, that paved the way to open my heart to God. So if any of you out there are listening to family members or friends who have fallen away from faith or don't have faith at all, encourage them to the highest levels of authenticity and integrity, to really to be as authentic as they possibly can. Right. Because God will work through the natural to bring about the supernatural. That's what happened in my case. So as I began to be more integral and authentic, God began to flood my life with amazing men and women. Mike, my boss, invited me to come to Mass with he and his family. And I saw the smartest people I know kneeling before Jesus in the Eucharist. And that didn't convert me. I'm not a follower. I'm a figure doubter.
Right.
And so when I saw that, it gave me pause. And I began to study and go. And then one conversion after the next, from agnostic to spiritual to world religions to evangelical Christianity, and then ultimately home to Catholicism. So that's kind of my journey. I was ordained in 2012. I've been a priest 13 years now. I was stationed in a rural parish for 2 years, and it was probably I'm not going to say it's the best 2 years of my priesthood, because it seems like every year it's the new best year of my priesthood.
But you started out there in the sticks.
Out in the sticks, and these people were so patient. They were so kind with me. They were, you know, they were Whitesville, Kentucky. So big shout out to St. Mary of the Woods in Whitesville, Kentucky.
All right.
Great people. Amazing people. And they loved me, and they let me love them back. And, you know, it's a great community. So grew a lot. And then after my second year, I was put on the missions. And then from there, held a variety of jobs. But currently, I'm the mission director for the Fathers of Mercy. Those who do not know the Fathers of Mercy, we are a religious community like the Dominicans or Franciscans, but we're really the best religious community in the church. I mean, like, there's number one and then there's everyone else.
Yeah.
And we hold that number one spot. I think Pope Leo might have said something. I can't remember. I wasn't paying attention. He might. I don't know.
But that's awesome.
You're like, people are like, Father, isn't that prideful? And I'm like, well, hang on a second here. You know, is your wife the most beautiful woman in the world?
Of course.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, man, the woman, the bride, the community that I gave my life to is the most beautiful community in the world. It's the best. So any young men out there feel called to the priesthood or religious life, look up the Fathers of Mercy.
Somebody could be listening out there.
They could be. We are traveling confessors and preachers. That's what we do. So on this parish mission, you know, I'm going to spend 45 minutes these next 4 nights preaching.
Right.
But I'm going to spend 3 to 4 hours in the confessional. So I spend 75% of my time hearing confessions, 25% of my time preaching, and then that's not including the several hours of day of prayer. So you know, so it's really a powerful ministry. So if any young man out there, or if you know any young men that you think would be good preachers and confessors, tell them about the Fathers of Mercy. We really are the best.
Absolutely. I love that. I love the way you say it with that smile on your face, because I believe it. And yes, I think Pope did say something.
You know, I think Father Calloway or Chris Ayler were here. They would be throwing things at me right now. So it'd be fun, though. They're great friends. And I the MICs, that's another amazing community.
The Father MICs,
Chris Ayler, Father Callaway, good friends.
Well, really we've had Father Chris Alar. We've had him. We had him at our 25th anniversary celebration in Plano, Texas. And then we had Father Callaway was a speaker here for our Fishers of Men dinner like 4 years ago and sold the room out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's amazing.
That just,
he's amazing.
But, you know, Father Callaway, now that you mentioned him, he's one of the reasons for my, you know, really coming back strong. And his devotion to St. Joseph, it just spoke to me.
Yeah.
And I read his book before I came to Guadalupe Radio, before I ever knew I was going to be on radio, which I never was on radio for my entire life. I've never been on radio or TV. And so it was through the worker, St. Joseph, that... you know, I got really devoted.
Nice.
And that, but I'm glad you mentioned, you know, the Fathers of Mercy, because y'all do great work out there. And reaching out to those young men that may be listening right now who are discerning, you know, being a priest, the priesthood. And, you know, I think it works, and I think it's the Lord sending a message to somebody.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because people often ask, how do you discern your call? And so when you look at the priesthood, you have the diocesan life and religious life. And the call to the diocesan life is a call to a people of a geography and to do all of the ministries of the priesthood.
Geographically.
Geographically. So you do all of the ministries of the priesthood in one geographic region to your people, right? You're not going to take a country guy from San Antonio and send him up to New York City, right?
Right.
These are your people here. So when a person says, am I called to diocesan versus religious, you ask, are you being called to a particular people? Religious life, are you being called to a particular charism, a work of Jesus Christ?
Right?
Are you called to specialize? And then you specialize in a ministry, and then you're geographically diverse.
Right.
So the call to diocesan is a call to a people. The call to religious life is a call to a charism. So we are preaching in confessions, Franciscans working with the poor, Dominicans education, right? Yeah. Salesians working with the youth. And there's so many great communities out there that are competing for number two in the church. So.
And like Father Will Combs over at St. Mary Magdalene, you know,
I don't know Father Will Combs.
No. Oh, he's fantastic. But, you know, but like Father Chris, he's part of, well, I'm trying to think of
Holy Spirit?
I think it's, the Holy Spirit, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, but yeah, it's, you know, it's what you're called to do, right?
Yeah.
It's what God wants you to do for him. Yeah. The Franciscans, you know, we've had many Franciscan priests come in.
Yeah.
And then you got, you know, priests like Father Martin Scott out of Peru.
Right.
Who just sat in that chair 2 weeks ago, and they travel, you know. Yeah.
Right.
They get around.
Oh, Father Scott was here? Father Philip's brother,
Father,
right?
Father Philip. I'm going to have Father Philip.
He's my buddy, man.
Okay, I didn't
love
know that.
That guy. Yeah, so I've known them for a while.
they're twins.
Yes, they're twins. Yeah, yeah. And Father Phillips, have you heard about his abduction? And
no.
He was abducted. And no, this is true story. He's abducted, bag over the head, like what you see in the movies, grab and snag, right? Bag and grab, right? So the bag and grab, and put him in a van. And I won't ruin the story for your listeners, but this is a great teaser. You have to hear this story, how he was abducted and they were going to kill him.
He just called me this morning.
Are you kidding?
No.
That's hysterical.
Because our good friend Bobby, he's trying to line up. He knows Philip Martin and Father Philip.
Father Scott,
Father Scott.
Scott.
But, you know, he said, hey, I want you to talk to Father Philip. He's going to call you Monday morning. Yeah. And, you know, I missed his call, but I'm going to schedule time to interview him.
Yeah.
Great. And so I can't wait now.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible.
I'll be calling him right after this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you've got his book, Tsunamied by God's Love, I think. Tsunamied by the Father.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember the name of it, but it's a phenomenal book. Great for anyone who struggled with relationships with their father.
Wow.
Huge healing. Huge healing for me, just reading it. And
speaking of books, you're an author as well.
Well, I'm a writer.
You're a writer, author, but tell us what inspired you to write your books.
Well, it's
and
nothing.
Where can we find them?
You know, what's hysterical is that I'm dyslexic and I've got I've got a whole mixed cocktail of learning disabilities up in my brain, and I can hardly read. People don't know this. I can read, like I have no problem reading the information, but I can't retain anything. So I've got like a 16% retention.
That music means we got to have a break. But Father, we're going to come back with you and talk about your books and some more great subjects. Hang in there, everybody. We'll be right back. It's like, here you go. Yeah, go. You know how to do it.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 10th. Today we celebrate Pope St. Leo the Great. Elected in 440, Pope Leo distinguished himself throughout his 21-year pontificate as one of the best administrators of the ancient church. He was likewise known for his pastoral skills and spiritually profound sermons. As Holy Father, Leo worked hard to control the heresies prominent in his day and to call the followers of those heresies back to true Christian beliefs. A second major area of concern for him was the controversy within parts of the church over the nature of Christ. Leo also led the defense of Rome against barbarian attack, taking the role of peacemaker. On one occasion, he persuaded Attila the Hun to halt his path toward Rome, which he was planning to plunder. But Leo's path to sainthood has its basis in the spiritual depth with which he approached the pastoral care of his people. Well-versed in scripture and ecclesiastical awareness, he had the ability to reach their everyday needs and interests. Pope St. Leo was indeed a great pope, a man who was boundless in his energy, large of heart, and clear in his sense of duty as St. Peter's successor. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Are you up against a problem? Are you feeling stuck and unable to see your way out? You just might need a fresh perspective, and that is what life coaching is all about. Sticking to a plan and creating new habits for a better life, all with God at the center. At StandTallToday.com, we have a team of life coaches ready to help you get excited about life again. You can learn more at StandTallToday.com. That's StandTallToday.com.
And welcome back, everyone. You're listening to In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, General Manager for the Guadalupe Radio Network South and Central Texas. We're going to continue our conversation with Father Ken Geraci, and we're going to go over those dates. Actually, it's this week of his mission talks over at St. Joseph Honey Creek in Spring Branch. But before that, I want to thank you for listening. And just a reminder to join our Facebook group at GRN South and Central TX. Go there and hit the like button and follow us if you can. And as a reminder, if you have an event that we can help build awareness about, please reach out to me. Or you can join me on the show and talk about your event. That is what we are here for at the Guadalupe Radio Network. We are all Catholic all the time. And I failed to mention this in my intro, Father, but my old stomping grounds, Holy Rosary Catholic Church over off Camino Santa Maria, right next to St. Mary's University, where I graduated from, is having their turkey bingos. It's three Fridays in a row. So the first one was last Friday on the 7th. Okay, I'm sure they had a great turnout. Then they're going to have one on the 14th and the 21st. It's in Meyer Hall. It's $10 per person. Go to holyrosarysa.org for more information. But I did win both years that I went. I don't know if we're going this year because of my mom, her situation, but my sister Laura always gets us tickets. So hopefully we can make it either this Friday or next. There's only two more bingos left. So
all right, there we go.
There we go. But there it's a beautiful turkey bingo, and you know, Holy Rosary, love those parishioners over there. So just want to remind everybody about that. So we're going to turn our attention now again to Father Ken Geraci. Want to remind everybody, he is going to be starting tonight. This is Monday, right? November 10th through the 13th. He's going to be doing mission talks. They're going to have a mass at 6:30 p.m. in the day chapel, okay?
No, it's in the main chapel.
In the main chapel. Oh, it's, you know, I was going to say, this has gotten so big, it's got to be in the main, because I know the, So the main chapel is going to have mass. It's a beautiful chapel, followed by a mission talk, again, in the main chapel.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock, and then confessions are also going to be
before and after.
Before and after. So see, you can go get cleansed, be in a state of grace, Father Ken Geraci would love that. And, you know, they're also on Thursday. Your last talk is you're going to have a reception afterwards.
Yeah, it'll be a big thing.
It'll be a big thing. So let me give you the mission themes, okay? Tonight, it's about spiritual warfare overview and defense. Tomorrow, Tuesday, offensive weapons, like the rosary.
We're going to talk about it all. Rosary, the chaplet, the powerful sacramentals, yes. Holy water. You got it.
The relics.
Yeah. The theme of the mission is spiritual warfare, deliverance, and healing. So we're going to do the overview tomorrow, overview and defensive weapons tonight. Tomorrow are the offensive weapon. How do we fight back and then also win souls back for Christ?
I like that. And, you know, we got to know how to fight back. And one of them is, I've got it right here. St. Michael Rock from
Third Degree Relic.
Cardano, Italy. Yeah.
Third class.
And then on Wednesday, you're going to talk about deliverance prayer and healing service.
Yes. We're going to have the Eucharistic healing service. If you've been to the Fullness of Truth Conference, and we do the Eucharistic procession for healing.
I love it.
And then we're going to have the deliverance prayer as well. So that's more of a kind of a hands-on, practical, let's engage, let's get in there, and let's win some souls back and fight for our families. So very powerful evening.
Wow.
And that forgiveness exercise as well. That forgiveness, if you struggle with unforgiveness, come Wednesday.
And then on Thursday, you're going to wrap it up with,
how to pray the Mass from a spiritual warfare, deliverance, and healing perspective.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to give you tools how to do what you're already doing better.
Yeah. And we need those tools, Father. It's it amazes me. I'm an adorer, and I go to adoration at my parish. But, you know, so many times there's only like one or two people in there. And something that comes to mind whenever I'm in there, I'm like, you know, if God proclaimed the world's going to end on December 31st of this year, how packed would that adoration chapel be? How packed would our masses be? Because everybody's going to be like, I got to get to heaven and I haven't done anything.
Yep.
Now, if you're in that situation, Father, how do you start?
Well, you start by showing up. You just have to begin somewhere, right? Our Lord's original call, into the first words of our Lord, repent and believe. And so it starts with a basic repentance. Lord, I need a Savior, the need for a Savior. Yeah. Our Protestant brothers and sisters are really, really good at helping emphasize the need for the Savior.
Right.
We focus on the need of the sacraments, which leads us to our Savior, right? This is, again, how original sin is cleansed and things like that. But now, how do you cultivate that, grow that, disciple that? Well, you've got to begin somewhere. So it starts by showing up. So if anyone is listening to this is struggling, just in your own heart right now, repent of your sinfulness. Say, Lord, I invite you in. And now let's start taking the next steps. Yeah. Come to confession. Come back to Mass. Make that commitment to change your ways.
Right.
You know, it's not enough to say, I'm sorry for my sins, then keep on sinning.
Right.
We have to have some desire for and some action that backs it up.
Right.
You know, it's like a guy who cheats on his wife and he comes home. He's like, babe, I'm sorry for cheating on you. And he's like, but I got a date, you know.
Yeah.
It's like there's no repentance. There's no, you know, you've got to try to avoid it going forward.
You know, and the old saying, or there's a saying, it's in the Bible. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get into heaven.
It's true.
And so when I think about that, I'm like, it's really hard to get into heaven.
Well, it's not that hard. Do you know the geographic location of the eye of the needle? Do you understand that part?
No.
So there was a wall that was, and again, I can't tell you exactly where it was, but there was this wall that was a huge, it was super, super long. It was a defensive wall. And so there was a hole in this wall they called the eye of the needle. And so in order to get on the other side of that wall, you either had to take this long, long, long diversion all the way around to the end of the wall, then back up, and then back down to the path you wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could take your camel up to this little hole in the wall, the eye of the needle, and you would have to unload the camel. You would have to take everything off of the camel, get the camel through, and then bring your stuff through.
Yeah.
And so what our Lord is saying is that it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of the needle than a rich man to get into heaven, because the rich man is unwilling to unburden himself of his material possessions.
Right.
So we have an obligation to look at all of the things we hold on to. You're not going to get through the eye of the needle if you have unforgiveness.
Yeah.
You're not going to get through the eye of the needle if you're attached to your sins. You have to be willing to leave that behind and pass through. Right. So there's a real practical dimension to that Jewish notion.
I'm glad you explained that, because that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah. I always thought of, you know, like a sewing needle.
Well, it's the same principle, right? Yeah. You're not going to get that string through the sewing needle if it's too thick.
And then the other thing that I think Teresa Tomeo was talking about this morning as I was listening in, but purgatory, you know, so many people have a misconception about purgatory. Is there fire there? Well, yes, there is, but it's a burning to get a burning desire for the Lord and to get purged, mm-hmm. right? But people think negatively of purgatory, which I don't understand.
Yeah, I get it. It's, listen, specifically if you're a non-Catholic, like the whole notion of purgatory is just totally foreign to them because Jesus paid the price. He did everything, right? And our Protestant brothers and sisters, I absolutely love them and have a tremendous amount of respect for them. But when you ask a Protestant, what is the minimum to enter into heaven? Well, the response is that you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's truth to that statement. But the scriptures, if you're going to be biblical, if you're going to be a biblical fundamentalist, it says nothing impure can enter the kingdom of heaven. And when I was going to the Protestant churches, I was asking the question, when I die, and if I struggled with sins, whether it was gossip, whether it was whatever it might be, if I die with those sins, still struggling with those sins, and I get to heaven, like, how does that work out? And literally, the guy I was talking to said this. He goes, the Father looks at you through, like, the blood of Jesus. Like, he's wearing sunglasses of the blood of Christ. And so he sees through the blood of Jesus and looks at you as perfect, even though you're not perfect.
Yeah.
Now, that's a logical contradiction. Right. And it's unfitting because God has the power to purify you, to make you perfect. See, the entry requirement to get into heaven, you have to be perfect. Yes. And we are made perfect through purification, through suffering. And so for those of you who don't know, your mother is Victoria?
Victoria, yes.
Gordy's mother, Victoria, if for all of our listeners who are just tuning in, she is in her final hours. We were anticipating today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, but it's going to be soon.
Right.
And so we're looking at your mother who's lived a very holy, wonderful life. And so we aid Gordy's mother, Victoria, by praying for her, by offering these prayers, by assisting, you know, to help prepare her soul so that she has this happy, holy death, that she bypasses purgatory. She goes straight. She's done all of her suffering here on earth. Right. And so this is really the beauty of who we are as a people, because scripture says Christ learned obedience through suffering, not through learning, not through books,
right,
but through suffering.
Suffering. Yeah, that's beautifully said. And, you know, Father, I do truly believe, you know, my mom was perfect.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, it's just, it's a hard time right now, but I really feel like she's going to go straight to heaven. And if she goes to purgatory, maybe it's for a couple of days, but we do pray for those in purgatory. I pray for all the souls of purgatory every day, and I ask them to pray for me, because if you have a relative, like my dad comes into my dreams, I think he's in purgatory. I pray for him every day. Nice. But I think it's very important to pray for those souls in purgatory.
Yeah, without question. When someone that we love dies, we not only pray for the repose of their soul, but we pray for a sure sign of their glorification.
Right.
So when your mother does pass, we're not going to just pray for the repose of her soul. We're going to say, hey, Mom, show us what you mean.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. I want to get back to your book because, you know, first of all, why the topic of spiritual warfare for the mission? That's not about your book, but I think let's talk about it.
So my book, Spiritual Warfare and Divine Mercy, is based on the parish mission that I've given. Now, there's a lot more content in Spiritual Warfare and Divine Mercy. And then my second book, Why Be Catholic, is based on my first set of missions, which is entitled Why Be Catholic. So the theme I state right in the beginning of the book is that I am tempted on a regular basis to scrap every other topic that I talk about and only preach about the Rosary and Divine Mercy Chaplet because of the power of those sacramentals, the power of the prayer that both of those give us. You know, I clap back at this notion of spiritual warfare in the book. People say, Father, what are you so worried about? Don't you read the book of Revelation? We win. Jesus is victorious. We're the winners.
Yeah.
And I clap back at them because, you know, this is very real for me. I have family members and friends that do not practice the faith that, I mean, literally, I'm very scared.
I'm scared for them as well.
I'm scared for my family members that they know it's a lot of challenges here.
Yeah.
So they say, Jesus won, we win in the end. I'm like, yeah, we win in the end, but what's the score?
Yeah.
What's the score? Did we win by a small margin or did we win by a large margin? Right? And did my family members, did my friends, did my enemies, did they make it?
Right. We're going to come back and talk more about that because I got some more questions that are coming in from the outside.
Great.
All right, everybody, sit tight. We'll be right back.
That was a quick segment.
Celebrate 25 years of Catholic radio with the Guadalupe Radio Network. Show your love for GRN with exclusive 25th anniversary merchandise, including t-shirts, tumblers, hats, tote bags, and more. Perfect for you or as a gift for a fellow GRN listener. Every purchase you make helps us keep spreading the good news on the airwaves. Visit grnonline.com/shop today and be part of the celebration. That's grnonline.com/shop.
GRN family, are you ready to experience the beauty of France and deepen your faith? Join the Guadalupe Radio Network for a once-in-a-lifetime Catholic pilgrimage cruise along the Seine River in France, April 22nd through the 30th, 2026. Sail aboard the elegant MS Renoir and explore the sacred sites like Rouen, Normandy, Lisieux, and Paris. Celebrate daily mass, enjoy guided tours, and grow spiritually with hosts Father Sam Medley, Debbie Giorgiani, Dave Palmer, and Sean Rice. And here's a special bonus. Register between now and Thanksgiving and receive a GRN 25th anniversary swag bag filled with commemorative items celebrating 25 years of Catholic radio. Want more? Consider an optional 3-day extension to Lourdes and experience this miraculous Marian sight in person. Space is limited and the upper deck is sold out. Visit grnonline.com/cruise to secure your cabin now. Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
This is retired Navy Vice Admiral Steve Stanley. With Archbishop Broglio, I'm promoting the cause for canonization of Father Vincent Capodanno. This U.S. Navy Catholic chaplain and Medal of Honor recipient was wounded twice, but freely gave his life on a Vietnam battlefield, anointing fallen Marines. Who better provides a heroic example for imitation as Christians? We need your support and prayer. Visit CapodannoGuild.org. That's CapodannoGuild.org.
And welcome back, everyone. You are listening to In His Vineyard. I'm Gordy Zambrano, General Manager, and I am joined alongside by Father Ken Geraci. And, you know, we're asking questions. I've got questions coming in on text. Everybody's excited out there because Father Ken's here, and they've got questions for him. You know, the easiest way to ask Father a question is to attend St. Joseph Honey Creek this week. He's starting his mission theme talks tonight. It starts tonight, and they've opened up the main chapel, which is a beautiful, if you've never been out to Spring Branch, St. Joseph Honey Creek is just fabulous. There's so much land out there. Father Chris is a pastor, and I'll tell you what, he does a fantastic job out there. I was just out there for their festival, did a live remote, and we just love our little partnership we have with our friends out there at St. Joseph Honey Creek. So if you can make it out there tonight, Mass is going to start at 6:30 p.m. There'll be confession, a reconciliation before and after. Father is going to do his talk tonight on spiritual warfare overview and defense, which, you know, we were talking about before we went to the break, and I want to continue that conversation.
Well, let's talk about that spiritual warfare. Let's talk about that spiritual warfare element, about how the Divine Mercy Chaplet is truly a great weapon in spiritual warfare. So first of all, what so many people don't understand, and again, there's only a handful of us, the MICs, Father Chris Ayler, Father Calloway, myself. Right. There's a layman, and I can't think of his name. Anyhow, sorry, Vinnie Flynn.
Vinnie Flynn talks about it, right?
So big shout out to Vinnie Flynn. No one talks about the Divine Mercy Chaplet as an extension of the liturgy of the Eucharist.
Right.
See, when you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, we pray, Eternal Father, I offer you what? The body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. For what reason? In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
Yep.
So we're offering. So what is the, what do we find? The body, blood, soul, and divinity? This is the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the Mass. The Mass is Calvary. So when you pray the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, you're entering into Jesus's perfect offering to God the Father.
Wow.
So again, there's so many different Protestants that actually pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And it's so powerful because you're praying Calvary. And so when you talk about why is the Divine Mercy Chaplet a powerful weapon in spiritual warfare, because you're going to the place of victory and you are uniting yourself and your intention with Christ's victory over sin and death.
At the footsteps of Calvary.
At Calvary itself, united with Calvary, as the blood and water is pierced from the side of Christ and it gushes forward. So if you want to pray this for spiritual warfare or for healing or deliverance, put what needs to be healed or delivered or the fight that you're in, right? You know, if you and your wife are fighting, right? See your marriage under the crucifix and let that blood and water gush over you. And allow the water to flood your marriage, to wash over your pride, your arrogance, your wife's pride, your wife's whatever her limitations are, right? And allow the water to wash all of the sinfulness away and then the blood to flow in to heal, to give new life. So when we look at the, I mean, I could give you 100 ways to pray the chaplet from spiritual warfare, but that's really at the heart of it, is that when you pray the chaplet, you are stepping into Calvary, uniting yourself mystically with Calvary through the hands of the priest and the divine offering at the Mass, and that's where the greatest victory was taken place.
Wow, I'm glad, very glad you explained that, Father, because, you know, the other thing is the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I mean, the rosary, everybody knows the rosary, you know, the decades and, you know, what to pray and what day. But it seems like the Divine Mercy Chaplet didn't get as much maybe airtime.
Well, it's only 100 years old. I mean, we haven't had our 100th birthday yet. So when you look at the rosary, we have the rosary that goes all the way back to St. Dominic. And then we have like a couple hundred years. And then we start gaining traction at the Battle of Lepanto, right? And so it's, there was always that devotional side, but we really didn't gain popularity. I mean, we had to get some weather under our feet first. So the Divine Mercy Chaplet, I argue, is more powerful than the rosary. It is because
that's a powerful statement. I was going to add that was the next question.
And there's a bunch of old ladies out there now, like they're throwing their mantillas on the ground, they're ripping, they're tearing their garments. How dare you, Father?
Say that again, Father.
Yeah, right. The chaplet is more powerful than the rosary. Now, I'm not. That's a clickbait statement. Y'all cut me some slack. You know, don't come and burn a papal flag in the front yard here, all right? I'm coming at this from the perspective that when you pray the rosary, what gives the rosary its power? Well, it's the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Right.
It's that when you pray the rosary, you're meditating on the mysteries of Christ. It's a meditation. And so you're meditating on the life of Christ. You're saying the holy name of Jesus. And you're sitting with the Queen of Heaven who sits at the right of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Right.
And you're saying, Mother Mary, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. And so for 15 to 20 minutes, every time you pray your rosary, Mother Mary is sitting with you and she is praying for you right now for your needs and intentions.
Right.
So she's, so now let's go to the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I just described it as praying Calvary. You're at the foot of Calvary. Who else is at the foot of Calvary, Gordy?
Jesus.
And?
Mary.
That's right. So Jesus is on the cross.
Yep.
Mother Mary's at the foot of the cross. St. John is at the foot of the cross, right?
Yep.
And you're not meditating, even though you can have amazing meditations during the chaplet.
Right.
You are making an action of the offering. So you are engaged mystically, uniting yourselves and participating in offering Jesus to God the Father for your sinfulness and that of the whole world.
Yeah.
And Mother Mary, who needs a Savior, right? But she was redeemed in advance, as we're redeemed post-event, right? So we're there with Mother Mary. So it's not like we're playing, you know, chaplet versus rosary, saying one is better than the other. I'm saying, but there is more power in the chaplet because of the way of the words that are being said, the offering that is being made.
Right.
You know, as we said at the top of the hour or beginning of the hour, was that we pray the rosary in reparation for sin. The chaplet is prayed in atonement. Reparation is making a payment. Atonement, it pays off the entire debt. So again, we should pray both. That's my right. posture. I pray three rosaries a day and I pray two chaplets a day.
Wow.
So that's my minimum. That's my bare minimum every day.
I was going to ask you, one time a day or, Divine Mercy? Well, at 3 o'clock, we pray the Divine Mercy chaplet every day.
Right. So, I'll get text messages randomly. Like, hey, Father, it was like a good friend of mine.
Right.
We'll call him Murph. Good friend of mine, Murph. He's got liver cancer. It's not looking good.
Yeah.
And so when I got that message, hey, pray for Murph, I just picked up my rosary and I prayed one decade. I prayed one decade of the Divine Mercy Chaplet right there for him on the spot. It takes 60 seconds at most.
Yeah.
And so when we pray the chaplet, it's the great doxology of the Mass where the priest has elevated the body, blood, soul, and divinity and says, through him, with him, and in him, O God Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. And the people pray,
amen.
That's the chaplet of Divine Mercy. So when you pray the chaplet five times, you enter into that offering of Calvary to the Father.
And, as my wife and I always say, that makes sense.
It does.
And we say it in that in that tone. That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Because, it's just, I guess, educating. And it's programs like this and you traveling around the world advocating for the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Yeah.
Is what we need. And like you said, we haven't even reached the 100-year anniversary of DMC.
Yeah, we're coming up on it.
What date is that?
Well, 1932 was when the revelations took place, so I guess technically 1931 would be the beginning of the 100th year. So,
okay.
So you're really, and the way the world is shaping, I argue, my friends, I am not a conspiracy theorist. I am not. I deal with facts. My motto is in God I trust, but show me the data.
Yeah.
Right. But everything is being set up for the world to switch over to a digital currency.
Yep.
The mark of the beast. If you want Google search quantum digital tattoo, the very first search. Quantum digital tattoo. The very first thing that will show up will be an article from Rice University that talks about how they have these tattoos that you can give someone that will hold data.
What?
And yes, and so you'll never guess it was requested by a particular foundation to maintain vaccine identity data.
I bet I can guess who that is.
Yeah, well, we're just going to leave that off the air for now. But nonetheless, so things are being set for the mark of the beast, where the Book of Revelation says, now this can happen in our lifetime, or it could be another 100 years from now.
Sure.
But we have to have this mindset of understanding that we are in the end times. That's not Father Ken's opinion.
Right.
These are the words of Jesus to Saint Faustina. He said to her, you will be the secretary of my mercy to prepare the world for Jesus' second coming.
Wow. Yep.
Now, everyone needs to read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 675 through 677, because the Catechism, the official teaching of the Church, is going to tell us what the second coming is going to look like. And in paragraph 675 through 677, it's bad news. It makes a prophecy, not a prophecy, it makes a promise.
Yeah.
In 675 through 677, the Catechism says, before Christ's second coming, the church will pass through a great trial, a great apostasy of faith, where the church will forsake the teachings of her divine Savior and turn to the world for an apparent solution to its problems. And it goes on to say much more. So, but again, these things are written in black and white. So we have to, again, our Lord told Faustina she was to prepare the world for his second coming. And so for us, and again, this world needs God's mercy. That's the answer to all of our problems. This is why the community, my religious community, is called the Fathers of Mercy.
Right.
We were founded in 1808, over 100 years before Divine Mercy. But our founder looked at the French Revolution and said, the only thing that can cure the problems in France is God's mercy.
Yeah.
And what happened in France in 1789 French Revolution forward is a direct assault of the devil, and God's mercy is answered. Those things are being played out on the world stage now.
Wow. If you just joined us out there, we only have a few minutes left. Father Ken Geraci is here with us, and he's going to be at St. Joseph Honey Creek this week. And if you need more information, you should just go to St. Joseph Honey Creek, their website, and you could see the schedule. You could see the topics. It's stjoseph-honeycreek.org. And with only like a few minutes left,
7 Father, p.m. Come 7 p.m. tonight, tomorrow, Wednesday and Thursday.
7 p.m. And Father Ken's going to be there, and he's going to be taking questions. He's going to be
I'm just preaching.
You're just preaching.
We're just going to work.
Okay, so I attend. Let's. What do you want, or what would you like attendees to walk away with?
There's a line that says a rising tide raises all ships.
Yes.
And so for whoever comes, we're going to take your faith like Jesus is. I'm just an instrument he's going to use. God's grace, you come and there's going to be a rising tide in your faith. We're going to take, not only give you some new information, but I'm going to help you do the things that you're already doing with greater intentionality, greater power, greater faith. This is one of the hallmarks of my ministry that I'm learning, that God is really using me, not necessarily to teach people new things, but how can we do what we're already doing better?
Sure.
And so it's not the increase in multiplication of prayers or devotions. It's doing the things we're already doing better.
Right. Father Ken, you have we've talked about a lot.
Covered a lot of ground.
I'll tell you what, having you on the program has been an honor and a blessing for me and our listeners. And I'm praying that somebody out there, you know, at the very beginning of the program, you were calling out to some young man who's discerning the priesthood. And I want to bring that back up because I think there is somebody out there listening that's thinking about discerning. And of course, the Fathers of Mercy would be an excellent choice.
Come on out. We're the best.
So with just a couple of minutes left, I want you to end us in prayer. But again, Father Ken Geraci is going to be out at St. Joseph Honey Creek today through Thursday, starting with Mass.
Yes.
And he's going to have a mission talk as well. So go to, you can actually find out information from, let's see, where is that? I want to make sure I get the right, stjoseph-honeycreek.org. It's in their bulletin, and you can see all the themes for the day. Father, lead us out in prayer.
Sounds good. The mission starts at 7 p.m. If you want to come to the daily Mass, that's at 6:30. But 7 p.m. to 8:15 is the parish mission, spiritual warfare, deliverance, and healing. Let's pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we bless and thank you. Lord, we thank you for Gordy. We thank you for Guadalupe Radio Network. We thank you for all of those who are listening, praying for Gordy's mother as she prepares her journey from this world to the next, where life does not end, it just becomes different. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Father Ken. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a blessed week, and keep us in your prayers here at the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Catholic all the time. This is the Guadalupe Radio Network, radio for your soul.
The Universal Church is now celebrating a Jubilee year. The Archdiocese of San Antonio invites all Catholics to embark on a spiritual journey by visiting one, some, or all of the 23 designated pilgrimage sites during the 2025 Jubilee year. Each site offers a unique opportunity for prayer, reflection, and deepening your relationship with Jesus Christ in this Jubilee year. To learn more about each pilgrimage site and to see them on an interactive map, visit archsa.org/Jubilee Year.
I had never heard of Guadalupe Network Radio, and I cannot tell you how excited we are to learn about this fabulous radio station. I downloaded the app, and I've been listening since yesterday and today, and I'm just very excited. I'm just so thrilled that we have this wonderful tool in our toolbox to learn more about our Catholic faith. I just can't thank you all enough.
Well, as a teenager, I didn't really see how relevant religion was in my life. In my early 20s, I began to look at other faiths. Well, I understand as a Catholic that the things that I was given at a very early age, those things never ended. They're still with me. That's what drew me back. Because the Catholic Church is worldwide, there are so many different types of people that come to the church. And it's a place where I feel accepted for who I am. I'm where God wants me to be. And I feel like my life can be used for what He wants now. And when I came back, I said, Lord, you were waiting for me the whole time with your arms open wide. And I have come home.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Clark Cardes, colon and rectal surgeon and fellow in the American College of Surgeons, is proud to be a sponsor of the great Catholic programming on KJMA. He's a member of Catholic Charities Medical Advisory Board and Catholic Physicians Guild of San Antonio, and provides care for colon cancer, diverticulitis, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, and those embarrassing lumps, bumps, aches, and pains. For more information on his offices in the Medical Center, Westover Hills, or Stone Oak, please call 210-614-0880.
Streaming to the world at grnonline.com and on your FM dial at 89.7, where KJMA, Floresville, San Antonio. All Catholic, all the time.